Project. He can finally kiss his worries goodbye.
I'm Sarah Womby. A large portion of a high-rise hotel under construction in New Orleans has collapsed, killing one person and injuring several more. Motorists and pedestrians were forced to flee when part of the future Hard Rock Hotel collapsed into the street. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the situation could have been a lot worse.
This is obviously a very, very serious collapse, and I'm for one, and I think we should all be very thankful that pedestrians and motorists on the street were all able to get out safely.
Still in the US, and Kevin McAleenan has resigned as Acting Secretary of Homeland Security. It's the latest round of upheaval in the Trump cabinet. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
After only 6 months in the role, Kevin McAleenan said he'd rather spend more time with his family. Earlier, he told the Washington Post he didn't have control over the tone, message, or public face of the Department of Homeland Security, even while he worked hard to deliver on immigration policy. Stephen Miller is seen as the aide closest to U.S. President Donald Trump and the person driving that message. President Trump has said he prefers acting officials because it gives him flexibility, but it also avoids the process of formal nomination, vetting, and confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Back home, Prime Minister Scott Morrison has refused to overreact to a war of words between his Home Affairs Minister and China while he was out of the country on an official visit to Fiji. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton drew the wrath of the Chinese embassy on Friday after saying the policies of the Communist Party of China are inconsistent with those of Australia. But the Prime Minister says there are obvious differences between the two countries.
I don't think there's anything terribly surprising about that. So I would warn against any sort of overanalysis or overreaction to those comments, because I think they just simply reflect the fact that we're two different countries.
Public transport users in Victoria will again be entitled to compensation after operators fell short of their performance targets. About one in 10 metro trains, or around 6,000 services, were late during the evaluation period. Yarra Trams and regional rail operator V-Line also failed to meet the required targets. A 14-year-old was among five people who escaped injury when shots were fired at their home in northwest Sydney overnight. New South Wales police say the teenager was at the house with three siblings and their mother. The shots were fired into the Oakhurst home on Sims Road at about midnight. No one has been arrested, but police believe the incident may have been targeted. A man armed with a gun has been arrested after specialist police swooped on a property south of Devonport. Tasmanian police say the 29-year-old was arrested after a planned police raid at a property at Railton yesterday morning. He was found with a firearm and was arrested in relation to firearms, family violence, car theft and dangerous driving offences. And a 2.8-metre shark has been caught in drumlines at a beach near Gracetown south of Perth. Lifesaving WA says the bronze whaler was caught 400 metres offshore and has since been released. This is Air News. Melbourne City was unable to score against Melbourne Victory in the opening A-League match at Marvel Stadium in front of 33,000 fans. The nil-all draw was marred by a Victory goal being ruled offside by the video referee. Earlier, the Western Sydney Wanderers defeated the Central Coast Mariners 2-1. Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge has become the first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. The 34-year-old was assisted by an electric car in front and several runners that acted as a windbreak to help him keep the pace. Here's how the BBC called the finish.
Eliud Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna. 1:59:40, the unofficial time. The first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. One final lung-busting stride for Kipchoge. One giant leap for human endeavour.
Scott McLaughlin will start from pole position for the Bathurst 1000. His Ford Mustang set a record lap time around Mount Panorama, with Ford taking the first three positions on the grid. And in the cricket, Victoria and South Australia appear to have reached a stalemate at stumps on day three of their Sheffield Shield clash. South Australia finished the day on 5 for 527, trailing Victoria by 89 runs. Queensland is 5 for 186 in its second innings, leading New South Wales by 51. And Western Australia is 2 for 148 in its second innings and hold an 88-run lead over Tasmania. Australian Independent Radio News.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
Love golf? Then hurry into Drummond Golf's huge $2 million clearance. There's loads of great gear reduced, but not for long. So hurry in today. Drummond Golf, Australia's biggest. Whether it's foals, weanlings, yearlings, broodmares, racehorses or stallions, HQ Insurance has you covered. Visit hqinsurance.com.au or call 02 8913 1640. Be sure, insure with HQ.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5 minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Ramwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel. Hotel, where racing people go.
Hi there, Sydney traffic update here with absolutely nothing to report. All lanes clear on the M5 East, General Holmes Drive, even Oxford Street. Where is everyone? Hang on, a huge crowd over at Royal Randwick. Of course, it's the Tab Everest. Clearly, it's the only place to be.
The Tab Everest, the world's richest race on turf. Saturday, 19th of October, Royal Randwick. Gamble responsibly. For gamblers' help, 1-800-858-858.
Trekking has won it.
Trekking wins his way into the Everest.
3-2 Sydney.
Wanderers and Sydney start with A-League wins.
Eliud Kipchoge becomes the first man to break 2 hours for the marathon.
Is this good enough for pole? The answer is yes.
Scott McLaughlin takes pole at Bathurst.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And good morning, everyone. I'm Ray Thomas. Welcome to the show. A show with a difference today. My regular co-host, Jimmy Smith, taking a well-earned week off. And I'm happy to say my good friend Neil Breen from Channel 9 and my former boss at the Sunday Telly is joining me. Breeny, good morning, mate. Thanks for coming on the show.
Ray, thanks for having me. And obviously I spend a lot of time at Channel 9 covering rugby league, but the entire rugby league world's gone on holiday.
It's amazing, isn't it?
They just all bolt.
One game is the issue. You never see him. You don't see him in the office again until next year.
I know, it's unbelievable. But anyway, we're buttering up today and we'll look after Jimmy's role and hope he's having a good weekend off.
We'll have a good weekend off, Jimmy. Plenty to talk about, Breeny, this weekend, but first we'll go to the NRL Grand Final. We were on here last Sunday, of course. We weren't sure what was going to happen, Roosters in Canberra. Look, the best side, I think, has won the competition in the Roosters. Their defence, as you wrote this morning in your Sun Herald column, only allowed in 3 tries during the final series. They were incredible last Sunday. When you think about it, Mitch Orbison was out of the game after 10 minutes, so they effectively had 3 men on the bench for 70 minutes of a pulsating grand final. But as rugby league was all year, Breeny, mighty in controversy.
Yeah, it is, Ray. And okay, the best team won the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Melbourne Storm were finished minor premiers, 3 matches clear of anyone else, but they just didn't aim up in the finals. They tried, but they lost 2 or 3 finals, right? So you can't win the premiership when you do that. The Roosters just sat there all season.
Kept building Cummings, Melbourne Cup.
They had a losing streak through the middle of the year. They came good. They were supreme at the SCG all year, and then they just went crunchola in the finals. They blew South Sydney out of the water and basically out of the competition in the first final. Then their next 2 finals against Melbourne and the Raiders, they were classic finals, defence-oriented finals, and they were too good. As you said, 3 tries in 3 finals. But there's a big but on it, because the grand final was mired in controversy, and it's left me 7 days on. Normally 7 days after an NRL grand final, I'm over it and I've moved on.
Okay, well, 2 things I want to ask you about. Probably the two biggest controversies, as they say, Trainergate right at the start of the game, and of course that six again rule.
Well, why the trainer? Okay, so I've written about this in the Sun Herald today. Mm-hmm. So the trainer for the Roosters is on the field after 1 minute and 55 seconds of play. The Raiders had the ball. It's kicked downtown. It's picked up by James Tedesco. So as soon as they get possession, what's happening in rugby league is the trainers are immediately coming on when a side has possession. Now, trainers are allowed to do three things on the field by the laws of the game. They're allowed to run a message to one player. They're allowed to give water to players, or they're allowed to treat an injured player. But the Roosters trainer, like, they're not the only ones. He's on there after a minute 55, right? Travis Toomer. He stays on for the whole set of six. The reason he was hit with the ball when it ricocheted was because he does what all the trainers do, and they sit in the pocket behind the play the ball, and they direct traffic. Now, why you need traffic directed in the third minute of play is beyond me. The NRL has to fix that rule. Mm. Now, look, Roosters fans are blowing up and saying it was inconsequential that the ball hit the trainer because Siasoliola performed an illegal tackle on Luke Keary anyway. But the referees didn't pick that up.
They didn't pick that up.
They didn't pick that up. They ruled on the rule that the team, whatever half you're in, if you're in that in your attacking half, then you get the ball back. So the Roosters effectively got a lucky repeat set of six, which they turned into another repeat set of six, and they scored a try. That's the first thing. The second one,
the six tackle again call.
Look, I hate referee bashing, Ray. I really do. I think they've got a terribly tough job.
Human error, you cannot eradicate it from the game, can you?
But
that's the bottom line. They're going to make mistakes. We all do.
But I firmly believe the NRL, because of its control of referees, has created human error in that there's two refs out there, there's two touchies, there's refs up in the grandstand, there's the bunker, and they're all wired for sound, and they're all talking to each other. There's
Confusion reigns sometimes, I reckon.
There's 9 minutes to go in a grand final. There's 82,900 people there. It's 8-all. It's fever pitch. Mm. And the referee, Ben Cummins, makes a call. And as soon as he says six again, the next words that are uttered are, is it?
Mm.
You can hear it.
Who says that, though?
I think it was Cummins.
Okay.
But it's hard to say because there's a lot of voices on there.
And I'm not clear as to who said, is it?
Someone said, is it?
Yeah.
And then the next thing Cummins says is fifth and last. So he goes six again. And I think if it's the referees just making their call, he just rules six again. Mm. And everyone says the ball didn't touch Tedesco. You know what? I reckon we'd still be watching replays now to see whether it touched him or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, it happened. In the end, the Roosters capitalised on it. Luke Keary was supreme. He went the blind. Tedesco scores. They win. And at the end of the day, we've got a premier that's outstanding.
Yep.
The Roosters, right? They're outstanding. So, and in no way am I taking away from the Roosters, but you can't take away from the facts that a lot of fans... I've written today, it was like the last episode of your favourite TV series. Like, it's like the last episode of Lost.
Or Seinfeld.
You go, I put 6 years into that. Mm. Is that it? And I think fans have put 7 or 8 months into this competition. My children are Roosters fans, right? Mm. And the next day, my 15-year-old daughter, who's a Roosters fan, and we would have been to 8 or 9 Roosters games this year sitting at the grandstand at the SCG, she felt it was weird.
Yeah.
She goes, I felt really sorry for Canberra. That was just weird.
I tell you what, it was though, and you have to feel for the Canberra fans, but...
And the referee.
I feel for
the Raiders.
Mm.
I feel for the Roosters, right? Because they're now like going, everyone's questioning our premiership. Yeah. I feel for the referees. I don't feel for the NRL.
No, that's fair enough. Well, at least it was a pulsating grand final.
It was.
Unlike the AFL grand final. It was fantastic to watch. Overnight, Salford have lost. Jimmy won't be happy about this. St Helens, too good, 23-6 in the Super League grand final. Jackson Hastings has had another blinder. There's a lot of noise now about Jackson Hastings coming back to the NRL. This is in from Steve from Rudy Hill. What a great career Lachlan Cooter's had. Won an NRL premiership with the Cowboys. Now a Super League premiership with St Helens. Very underrated player. Also love Jackson Hastings' post-match speech. He's a class act. The Broncos need some halves, Bruni.
Yeah, but I think he's tied up in the UK. I don't think that's
a contract worth these days. How long's a piece of string, seriously?
Yeah, he's signed for Wigan, so he's leaving Salford and he's going to Wigan next year, and Wigan aren't going to let him out of it just because the Broncos need halves. Look, the funny thing about Jackson Hastings is he's gone over there and won the Man of Steel. I watched a whole chunk of that game this morning. St Helens were just far too good. They've been the best team in the competition over there for 2 years, but they just haven't picked up a trophy, and they finally got their trophy today. Justin Holbrook's their coach. He comes back to the Titans. Let's see what he can do there.
Big raps on him. Big raps on
him.
There
are big raps on him, but he's got a big job ahead of him at the Titans. But Jackson Hastings, you know, the funny thing about him is he was at the Roosters, you know, the son of the great Kevin. Then they don't want him. He's at Manly. Then there's Blues in Gladstone, and Trent Barrett threw him under the bus. We never really got the full story on Jackson Hastings here, did we?
Funny thing, Zorb last Sunday, because Zorb's been sort of championing Jackson Hastings the last couple of weeks, saying he should be coming back to the NRL, the Broncos should look him, they need a halfback. He sort of reckons that Jackson Hastings got made a bit of a scapegoat about all of that, and young man, anyway, he's turned the corner. This has come in from Polly. Morning, Tanya, Neil and Ray. As a Roosters supporter...
Tanya gets a mention.
Of course, always does, yeah. As a Roosters supporter, of course I'm happy, but the referees have left me flat. Sorry that this controversy has happened, and sorry to the Raiders fans. We deserve the win, and I agree with that, but it was a poorly refereed game.
Oh, that's a lovely email from Polly. And look, because what I've written today is out there, I'm getting hammered by Roosters fans, right?
And
that's the passion of rugby league, right? That's the passion of rugby league. But I'm sort of trying to point out to them that the last thing the Roosters want to do is become the new Manly. Like, see, people aren't hating on Manly anymore. They're liking on Manly now.
The battle's coming good again.
The Melbourne Storm, right? The reason the Melbourne Storm were hated, but it's heroes and villains, Ray. People love a villain, right?
Correct.
There's got to be someone. So they've hated the Melbourne Storm over the years, right? Cam Smith just getting clobbered, right? Now he's questioning whether he's going to finish his career and everything. So what's going to happen is if Melbourne sort of drop off towards the top, they're going to look for a new villain. They're going to look straight for the Roosters. Look, and look, the Roosters can get angry about it. Their fans can get angry about it. But it's just going to happen, Ray.
It is. World Nines next weekend, so still plenty more rugby league. Cricket is in full swing. Sheffield Shield season. Bray, I'm not sure if you caught up with this. The game at Junction Oval. I'll get to the New South Wales game in a second. The Victoria versus South Australia game.
Go through the score,
they
Ray.
They are playing on a road. Nick Maddinson's gone to Victoria. Scored 224 opening.
Highest first-class score.
Yep. Marcus Harris has got 100, as has Will Pekowski. Big raps on him. At one stage, they are 1 for 413, Victoria.
That's shocking.
They scored 616 for 6, declared after 150 overs. What are South Australia going to do? They've tried their best. They've got 527 in reply. Tom Cooper scored 188, not out. Alex Carey's got 117. But the match became a farce because in the end, the Victorians are trying to say to the South Australians, when are you going to declare and set this match up? They had Pattinson bowling off spin just to make a farce for the whole thing in the mid-session. But why score 616 runs and then on your home ground? It was farcical. New South Wales are currently in broad in a match with Queensland that got the upper hand. They bowled Queensland out for 153, scored 9 for 288, declared in reply. Queensland are 5 for 186, so only by 51 runs with 5 wickets in hand going into day 4. Labuschagne's got runs in both innings. He's becoming a complete player, Labuschagne. But to me, the important news out of this match is Mitchell Starc. He's none for in both innings, Brenny.
Yeah, I know. He's just in the red ball game. He's just fallen away a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And it's sort of post last summer, it just looked like the new regime of Justin Langer, and they've lost faith in him a bit. Like, what did he play, one Ashes test?
I can't believe that. After a great World Cup.
Yeah, I know. He just looks like he's becoming a white ball player. He's a confidence bowler.
Yeah, I'm about to say his
but the other important news was Warner scored runs there, so that was good.
Steve Smith got a duck. He's human.
I know.
But Warner did get runs. Rugby World Cup. Now, the situation is that Australia are through to play England in the quarterfinal next Saturday. But this typhoon, which is bearing down on Japan, will hit today. This is going to have huge ramifications for the tournament because Japan have to meet in the Scotland game. If it goes ahead, the winner of that game, if Scotland can win with a bonus point, they will get through ahead of Japan, Brini.
Yeah, so what's supposed to happen today, Japan and Scotland
if they go ahead
at 9.45 tonight in Yokohama. So Japan's on top of the pool, Pool A with 14. Ireland's second with 11. Scotland on 10. So Ireland's now gone to higher than Japan because they won last night. Right, so they're through. Mm-hmm. So Scotland's got to win and win with a bonus point. If the game's not on, Japan's through. Scotland is going to blow up deluxe.
Yep.
Right, if this game gets canned. But that's just the way it is. There's a typhoon, and Scotland are saying they've got QC's advice. Whenever we're in a sporting contest and someone mentions a QC, right, I start shaking. I hate it when lawyers get involved in sport. Mm. But this is the situation as it stands. Quarterfinal one, next Saturday night at 6:15, will be England versus Wales or Australia, right? And then we've got quarterfinal two, New Zealand versus either Japan, Ireland or Scotland, right?
Correct.
That's because of this game that's happening tonight or not happening tonight. Then on Sunday, it'll be Wales or Australia v France, and then quarterfinal four will be Japan, Ireland or Scotland versus South Africa. So, look, the World Cup's been funny. Australia was average against Georgia. I can't work out, Ray, how we've gone through 4 years of preparation only to get to the World Cup and not really know who our halfback and 5'8 is.
It's extraordinary. It's going to be a massive game, obviously, against England. The bars between the coaches are happening between Checker and Eddie Jones, so plenty happening. Yeah, can I just make mention of what I think is one of the most extraordinary feats of human endurance ever? Eliud Kipchoge overnight, it was in Vienna, I think, he has run 42, just over 42 kilometres. He's run a marathon in under 2 hours, Brenny. This is akin to Roger Bannister breaking the four-minute mile back in 1954. One of the great feats of sporting endurance that will go down in history by this Kenyan runner who won Olympic gold in the marathon in Rio in 2016.
Well, he's the best marathon runner in history. He's won 8 major titles around the world. He's won the Olympic marathon. It's quite rare for the elite marathon runners to actually win the Olympic marathon. They kind of dodge it a bit because it's always running the heat. And
the pressure gets to them, doesn't it?
And that European circuit and everything in control conditions. But Eliud Kipchoge, 159.40. It won't be ratified as a world record by the IAAF because it was a controlled race. What happened was he had 42 pace setters and they were in five seven-man teams, and they ran with him and kept the pace going. It was in Vienna at a certain time of year, at a certain time of day, in perfect conditions for marathon running. It was his second attempt at it, and he's got under 159.40. But he is actually the real world record holder because he ran 201.39 in Berlin last year. He is the greatest marathoner in history.
To put this into context, I know you run a bit too, Brenny, like I do. He's running sub 3 kilometres for 42 consecutive kilometres.
2 minutes 50 a kilometre.
You try and do that.
You try and run 2.50
You try and run sub 4. It is really, really difficult. Plenty happening overnight. We haven't mentioned today Bathurst.
Scott McLaughlin's got pole.
Will he finally break that Bathurst jinx? He's won everything else, he just hasn't won Bathurst.
Well, he's got to get through six and a half hours around Bathurst, which is something he hasn't been able to do. He's
do
on
you like
pole.
Watching it? I find it compelling viewing. I love it.
If I didn't have a 15-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, right, I'd be watching 7 hours of it today, right? But what's going to happen is I'm going to get hammered, but I'm going to watch the start. Now, people need to be aware that the start is at 11:30 today. It's been pushed back. This is because broadcast news likes to run straight off the back of a sport event. So Channel 10 wants to get this going a bit later and all that sort of stuff. Exactly the way Channel 9 starts rugby league games at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, just to drag you through. So it's at 11:30 to start. Scott McLaughlin's on pole. Chaz Mostert, who won a few years ago, is second. Cameron Waters is third. The Mustangs, 1, 2, 3. Jamie Wincup and Craig Lowndes, 4.
I won't be too far away. Like your basketball?
Are you a Lowndes man?
Yeah, I am actually.
Yeah, I know.
Looking forward to watching it. Do you like your basketball? The Kings are off to a flyer, 2-0, Brenny.
No, that's good. Good start for the Kings. The Kings, look, the NBL's done a fantastic job, isn't it?
Oh, well, like, did you go to any many games? Because Tanya and I love it.
I haven't been for a while. I used to go to the Brisbane Bullets all the time when I lived in Brisbane.
Okay, yeah.
Because my flatmates played for the Bullets.
Okay.
And we had a great time.
Well, the Kings are off to a 2-0 start. We'll have to get you out to an NBA game during this season. And both the Sydney A-League sides have got their campaigns off to winning starts. Western Sydney Wanderers have beaten the Mariners, Central Coast Mariners, 2-1 at Bankwest. That might be their new fortress, Bruni.
Well, I just think it's fantastic they've finally got a home again. They literally were the Wanderers last year, just roaming around Sydney, playing at different places and things that didn't quite work for them. Sydney FC are going through that at the moment because they don't actually have a home ground. And if you've been past the old Allianz Stadium lately, there's nothing doing there, Ray.
It's rubble.
It's sort of dirt, right? But anyway, the Wanderers, I'm really happy that they're back at Bankwest, or they got Bankwest Stadium as a home ground. Mm. I just want their fans, mainly the RBB, just to enjoy the year.
Enjoy it. Plenty happening on the show today. We'll get racing very shortly. Talk to Mark Noonan, Matt Smith and David Hayes, who all had big Group 1 winners yesterday. Of course, Trekking's into the Everest. 12-horse field complete, Bruni. Godolphin just have to make that final tick with Trekking. I think that'll happen this morning.
Because they just want to see that he pulled up, okay.
Correct. That'll give
good
10
win.
Individual Group 1 winners in the Everest field. The other two horses who aren't Group 1 winners, Yes 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 and Classic Legend, they're good enough to win the race. So, question for you, Bruni. Who runs last?
Oh.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's
such a race.
Ray, I think yesterday was the first time since the Everest came in that I looked at the racing in both states and went, the Everest has had a profound effect on the spring.
Mm.
Like, it was Caulfield Guineas Day yesterday, and there was great racing in Melbourne, but so there was great racing in Sydney. You had races in Melbourne that were getting horses into Sydney races at this time of year.
Phenomenal.
It's really changed
everything.
It's absolutely changed everything. The Everest and the Golden Eagle, and you look at the weight for age racing that's going on. All these four-year-olds, rather than stepping up to the classic weight for age racing in Melbourne, are coming to Sydney to try and win the Golden Eagle race.
It's phenomenal. Well, Bruni, because you're having your debut run today, we were talking topics before we started the show, and Bruni, you can open the batting because you've come up with a beauty.
Okay, so the talk topic today, in honour of Bathurst, is your favourite one-off sporting event in the world that you've attended, right? So, we're not talking about, oh, I went to an NFL game once, or, you know, my favourite thing is watching the Roosters play at the SCG.
What was yours in?
Mine was the US Masters.
Oh, massive.
I was absolutely privileged to go to the Masters the last two years.
I think we crossed you this year, didn't we?
Yeah. I was there and I saw Tiger Woods win.
That's right, yes.
Right, so I was at the 18th when Tiger Woods won. And I never had the US Masters on my bucket list, Ray.
Always been on
my thought it was unattainable.
Yeah. No, good point.
And then all of a sudden Channel 9 got the rights to the Masters again, right? And I was sort of agitating, you know, thinking, oh, Channel 9's got to give me a new contract here, right? And I was getting a bit, oh, come on, you know, like I'm going to tell these bosses. And then one of the bosses rings me, Tom Malone in sport, and I go, and when he rang, I went, I'm going to tell him now on this phone call. He goes, hey, Bruni. I said, yeah, Tom. He goes, oh, mate, how would you like to go to the Masters? I said, oh, yes, Mr. Malone, when would you like me to go? I haven't had a pay rise since, but I got to the Masters.
Don't worry about that. You went to the Masters.
Anyway, the Masters for mine. My second favourite was the Beijing Olympics, right?
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. I remember Sydney Olympics working with you. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
You and I. How many hours a day did we do together?
20, I reckon.
16. How many?
We didn't have a blue, did we?
No, you and I didn't have a fight, but how many fights did we put out?
That was
Hippie Wells versus Mike Coleman versus Miranda Devine versus
so
Mike
good.
Hurst.
The politics, but it was great fun. My bucket list item, which I very similar, I thought I'd never be able to do, was Wimbledon 2012, getting the chance.
And
to
you covered it for News Corporation.
Yeah, because Leo Schlenk, who normally does, had to cover the Tour de France that year because everything was compressed because of the London Olympics. And I managed to cover Black Caviar at Royal Ascot for 2 weeks and then stay on for 2 weeks and
you did
Wimbledon.
2 weeks worth of coverage of one horse race that lasted a minute nine.
Never wrote so much about one horse in my life, but that was definitely my bucket list. So call in today on the show on 1353 53 53 1353 53 53 or SMS 0419 767 272 your one-off bucket list items that you have done and have attended in sport. Let us know what your thoughts are on anything sport this morning. I'm with Neil Breen. We'll come back very shortly with a race replays.
Wherever you are in New South Wales, Sky Sports Radio's there too. On Albury 99.3 FM, Mudgee 90.9 FM, Warren 87.6 FM, and Canberra 1008 AM.
At Wingman, we've got your back.
back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
12 horses, 1,200 metres and $14 million to be won or lost in about 70 seconds. Kickstart Everest weekend with a bang Thursday, October 17 at the Royal Oak with Double Bay's biggest Calcutta. With a guaranteed starting pool of $5,000, get involved in the world's richest race on turf in their newly renovated sports bar. You've got to be in it to win it, so get down to the Oak and get your tickets for just $1. Plus, a portion of the final prize pool will be donated to Bondi Nippers. Start your Everest weekend with the Royal Oak's Everest Calcutta, October 17. Visit royaloakdoublebay.com.au for details.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carboli. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
With over 400 winning graduates since 2013, the English Ready to Race sale continues to be the best source of success of its kind. The 2019 edition will be held at Riverside Stables on Tuesday, October 22. To view the catalogue, visit English.com.au.
Bank approaching the 100 metres, going well, a length and a quarter. Flits out with Miss Almandra. South Bank getting tied. Flit, Miss Almandra coming at her. They hit it. It's a three-way go. Flit in the middle, prominent. Flit or Miss Almandra or South Bank. Terrific go to the 1,000 guineas.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And that was Flit winning the 1,000 guineas for Godolphin. I was on Miss Almandra Breen. I was also on Alligator Blood. We'll get to that in a second. We're going to give away some prizes today. We'll give away a Wingman beer, a carton of Wingman beer, and a Winx book for the best contribution to the show on anything to do with sport. And also, we have the Event Cinemas quiz. You're in the hot seat for Jimmy Smith today, Breeny. But plenty happening in sport. A couple of SMSs there, Breeny.
Yeah, we've got a couple of beauties already, Ray. This is my favourite, though. Morning, Ray Breeny. Thank God those mighty Newtown Jets aren't going around again today. What about their last 2 weeks? My ticker can't take any more. Plus, I've had 8,972 schooners.
Ah, well done.
Lynchy.
Outstanding.
But the Newtown Jets, honestly, the last 2 weeks, you wouldn't believe.
I find the bounce of the ball.
But what about how they've got to sort of play 2 grand finals in a row? I find that
phenomenal.
Really hard for them to do. There's a couple of racing ones here too, right? There's a few comments here about the Roosters, everything, but we'll get to that later in the show. What a day for Sire Dundeal. Super Seth, the inevitable, and a great second by Castelvecchio. Regards Eagle-Eyed Field.
He is
Dundeal's
flying.
Really coming of age.
He
really coming of age as a sire. And then this one here, right? If Yes, Yes, Yes wins or nearly wins the Everest, the big talking point will be why no bivouac in the Everest.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Well, Godolphin must think they can win it with Elise. That's all I can think of. And they've got trekking in.
What'll they do with bivouac?
Potentially, you might go to the Manikato next.
Oh, really?
So they're going to take on the older horses, but in the Manikato, I think. But we'll certainly find out. So plenty of races yesterday. We'll go straight into them. The Spring Champion Stakes, the final Group 1 race in Sydney of the season. Shadow Hero, he is a good horse.
Shadow Hero gets cracking now from Saikoni, and Castelvecchio's the widest down to the 300. Just thinking 2 lengths clear from Battenberg. 3 further back to Shadow Hero, and Castelvecchio's winding up on the outside. Battenberg goes to Just Thinking. Shadow Hero's closing in with Castelvecchio. Shadow Hero after Battenberg. Shadow Hero takes the lead, and it's a favourite victory. Shadow Hero wins the Spring Champion from either the roughy Battenberg or Castelvecchio.
Hero now is the $2.30 favourite for the VRC Derby. So that's a pretty interesting run on Derby Day, of course, in 3 weeks' time. Southern Moon is $8. Warning, $9. Independent Road, $11. Just Thinking, $11. Can he stack them up over 2,500 metres?
Battenberg was good yesterday. Maiden, 4-start. Just beaten into third spot. He was terrific. He's $15.
Well, Maidens have won the Derby before.
Correct. But he's a good horse, Shadow Hero. On to the inaugural running of the Silver Eagle, Breen. This is the lead up to the Golden Eagle. The Inevitable came with a big reputation from Tasmania. He delivered.
Bronca just in front from on the outside. Buffalo River, they've gone awfully hard up front from Mezzi. Fasica gets going now. So does the Inevitable, the outside. Down to the 250, and Fasica takes the lead from Mezzi. And the Inevitable, the outside. It's Fasica ahead in front. The Inevitable's going to it. Nashville Willis sends the Inevitable to a narrow lead late. And the Inevitable just in front and goes on to win the Silver Eagle by a neck from a game for Fasica.
Here is the Inevitable from Tasmania. He's $9 in the market now for the Golden Eagle. But when you read through this Golden Eagle, it's an all-in market, so you've got to be careful. Like, when they came up with the idea of the Golden Eagle and said it would be for four-year-olds, I went, what are they putting on a four-year-old race for?
Have
right?
a look at it.
Because there's smarter people around than me, right?
I'm with
have
you.
A
don't
look
worry,
what's
Brent.
In it.
I questioned
Arcadia Queen, $3. Brutal, $4. Classique Legend, $7. Colding, $8. The Inevitable. Then Sunlight, $11. Fasica, $13. Let's go through these horses. Graf, Trope, Mizzy, Fiesta, Gem Song, Fahutakawa, Rock, Amphitrite.
It's a race, isn't it? What a race. Yeah.
What a race it is. And no wonder they're panicking in Melbourne.
Yeah, they've nailed that one. Talking about Melbourne, some big races at Caulfield yesterday. We'll go straight to the Caulfield Stakes. And David Hayes produces an import who's going to make a major role throughout the spring, Cape of Good Hope.
Galo Shop at the 400 as they quicken. Homesman moves up on its outside from Blackheart Bard. Harlem Humidor back to the fence from Dream Castle. Avilius is the widest and winding up. It's Galo Shop approaching the 200 with Homesman. Blackheart Bard's coming the outside. Galo Shop, Blackheart Bard, Cape of Good Hope's a threat the outside. Blackheart Bard from Cape of Good Hope. Bard's kicking. Blackheart Bard, Cape of Good Hope. They've hit it together. Photo finish. Third a wall of them.
So Cape of Good Hope took it out yesterday. It was an import from the United States. Coolboy would be very happy about that because he's a stallion prospect. $8. Le Gracheur, the Japanese horse, $4.50 is the favourite for the Cox Plate. Avilius, $6.
Couldn't
got too
get
far.
Into, yeah,
he got too far out of his ground yesterday. He was way down the back getting shuffled around. Mystic Journey, $7. Wow, can it run 2,040?
That's the big question.
That's
Mark,
the big
yeah.
question. Then Cape of Good Hope, as I said. This is my tip.
Mm.
The great Paul Gallen's got 5% of it. Tiakau Shark.
He was good in the Epsom.
Very, yeah. very good in the
He's
Epsom.
Not far off.
And he goes straight from the Epsom into the Cox Plate in 2 weeks' time today.
On to the Caulfield Guineas. I still can't work out how Super Seth wins.
A few of these chasing, then Skador Conqueror. Further back, Your Deal Kubrick. Rockabasharana into the straight at the 250, but here's the Alligator. Alligator Blood moves up and takes it, then Groundswell. Dallasan needs to find, followed by Conqueror Super Seth. But Alligator Blood, 100 metres to go, races away. Three lengths in front, Super Seth is flying. Alligator Blood stopping Super Seth from the clouds. It's close! Super Seth has put in a mighty lunge. Photo, Super Seth may have got Alligator Blood.
Well, he did get Alligator Blood.
Oh,
Alligator Blood.
Brain. Oh, jeez.
Mr. Van Dyke came down from Queensland.
And it was home, wasn't it?
It was home. And for his sire, All Too Hard, who won that race, beat Piero, he needs a Group 1 winner, All Too Hard. And
yeah,
but
he's
the done deal, Super Seth, Anthony Freeman, sorry. Not too sure what he's doing now. We pull him up now?
That might be his grand final, but geez, he's a fair horse, isn't he? Didn't he unleash out wide? So congratulations to him. And of course, they've got Santa Ana Lane in the Everest next week, so the Freedman Stable in form. Onto the Toorak Handicap, Fierce Impact. Beautifully bred horse, wins his Group 1. What's he worth now?
Fierce Impact up deeper on the track with Madison County. Amphitrite trying to track into it, followed by Widgie Turf. Cliff's Edge went for home as they reached the 250, led by about a length and a half to Streets of Avalon. Fierce Impact the outside, chasing Cliff as they reach the 150. Fierce Impact the outside, takes the lead from Cliff's Edge. Knights watch out late, but it's all Fierce Impact. Fierce Impact clear for Craig Williams. Fierce Impact won the Toorak. Second Knights watch photo.
He won it easy. Fierce Impact ran straight over the top of him by Deep Field, by Deep Impact.
Yeah.
Unbelievable value on him. Now what? 10?
Probably worth 10 mil. Yeah.
10 mil.
I know, we'll talk to Matt Smith shortly. I know they'd love to go to the Cox Plate.
$51 in the Cox Plate market, but they're not sure he'll get in.
Mightn't get in, yeah. But there was.
What? You win the Toorak Handicap, a Group 1 race, over a mile. And that's not good enough to get you in a Cox Plate 2 weeks later?
And in a year when it's not overly strong, too, the Cox Plate, is it?
No. So well, they need horses like that, innit?
You think last start Group 1 would be a chance, but anyway. On to the Scalacci Stakes. As Brittany mentioned earlier, so much interest going into the Scalacci because it was a win and you're in the Everest. Godolphin get another sprinter in, trekking.
Then came Trekking, getting a bit closer from Bonds away and Viridine in the straight. Ball of Muscle off the rails at the 300 metres, led by a length and a half, the Bostonian. Then came Ashlaw, Trekking running on from Bonds away the fence, and then came Booker. Ball of Muscle needs the line. Trekking and the Bostonian chasing. Ball of Muscle with Trekking. Trekking's got Ball of Muscle, the Bostonian. Trekking through and Trekking. Trekking has won it from Ball of Muscle, the Bostonian.
So they'll make a final decision today about Trekking, but as long as...
You think
as long as he hasn't done a hammy, he'll be going around in the air. So he's $21 in the air. So I think we should go through the whole market. Mm. There's only 12 of them, right?
Yep.
So we've got Santa Ana Lane, $4.60. Pierrada is $5. Arcadia Queen, $6. Red Zell, $9. Elise is $11. Yes, 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 $11. Classique Legends, blown out to 13 because he hasn't had a win. This spring, Sunlight is $13. Loves Racing will be nice and tough fourth up. Nature Strip, $17. Can it get the 1,200? 10 Sovereigns is $17. 10 Sovereigns is the only one we don't... Well, we know a lot about. We just haven't seen it.
Correct.
We haven't seen it unless you've gone to Canterbury and had a look at it, do some track work. Trekking, 21. In her time, right, is the Ruffy at $26.
And she's a first up specialist in a Jill Group 1 winner. How do you figure that?
Oh, well, how do you figure this race out? Honestly,
this is so good.
Anyway.
Can't wait for next week. I've got plenty of calls on the line. Brenius will go to Adrian. Adrian, good morning.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Hey, look, I love Brenius. He's got a rough head, but I'll tell you what. I love the fact he doesn't toe the party line. He's a bit of a maverick. I think you're terrific, Brenny.
Cheers, Adrian. I appreciate that, mate. My head's not that rough. It's not as rough as yours. I have seen you in the flesh.
You're better looking than Gus Gould, I'd imagine. You'd want to be, wouldn't you?
Bullfrog.
Just a couple of things I'd like to get Brenny's opinion on. First of all, I reckon the NRL is fast becoming like the EPL, unfortunately. Next year, honestly, Brenny, I reckon you could put a line through 12 clubs straight up to actually be genuine contenders for the premiership next year. And there's every chance, but if they have a good run with injuries, Roosters will go three in a row. The other thing, too, to me, it's not the summer of cricket, it's the slumber of cricket. Each year, I get less and less interested, unless it's India or, you know, you know, powerful, you know, really strong England side, which we haven't...
Or South Africa, who beat us here last time they came.
Or South Africa. I'm so much disinterested in it as well. And just look, on women's sport, I love women athletes, swimming, running, athletics, gymnastics, but, sorry, I can't get into them playing... I can't get in them playing cricket and football. It's just like a, you know, a real poor level of play, sorry.
I'll deal with those topics. Okay, the NRL, I agree with you, but there's always a team like Canberra. So Canberra make the prelim in 2016.
Yep.
Right.
They were close.
They lost that first final to the Sharks. Yep. That cost them dearly. Then they have two flat years. And this year, no one really thought they could make it to a grand final.
Again.
So you've always got a hope.
Yep.
You've always got a hope that one of those teams will come good. I don't think we're at the stage of the English Premier League. We have only just had our first repeat premiers in 26 years, so we shouldn't panic too much. The reason the Roosters are so good and we should praise them is because of their front office management.
It all starts here, doesn't it?
It all starts here. They're magnificently managed, so that's where they get the tick and that's why they're winning. With regards to the summer of cricket, look, the reason this summer will be interesting is because the intrigue is continuing post Cape Town. You know, we'd see Warner, Smith, who's going to be captain.
I love my cricket.
All
I'm
those
the wrong
things happening.
To talk about it,
Okay, it's not the greatest that, you know, the Kiwis are going to play in the Boxing Day Test and the New Year's Test, but the Kiwis have been a lot stronger lately. As for women's sport, what you've got to understand is this, right? So everyone has gone. Let's have the AFLW. Let's have WNRL, right? And what they've done with the females is they've said, okay, we're going to let you have your competition. And in the AFL, 18 versus 18 on the same size field as the men, right, who've been developing a professional game for 100 years.
They're trying to build it overnight. And it's difficult, isn't it?
It's difficult.
It's difficult to find enough players of that quality. There is some outstanding players in both codes and also in cricket.
And it will get better.
That's
happening in women's NRL 13 on 13 is they're being coached like the men's teams. whereas, you know, they have to use the different skill sets. If anyone doubts the quality of female football players, right, go and watch the Australian women's sevens team play.
Outstanding.
That is outstanding, right? Because they've been training basically semi-professionally or professionally for a while now.
And they're a good core group of quality players. And
if you're bagging women's cricket, go and watch a replay of them 20 years ago when they weren't professional. Oh. Women's cricket now is light years ahead of what it used to be and will only get better.
There's some absolute superstars here. We've got Chris on the line to talk NRL Grand Final. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Look, I just got a question, Breeny. You were talking about how you feel sorry for both teams after the Grand Final. I feel sorry for us, the punter out there, who is still scratching our head trying to work out what happens next year if a referee puts his hand up to signal six again. What happens next year if they do that? Do they say, oh, well, we got the decision right? Or what was the process there? Was it the wrong process? Do we know what's happening next year?
Mm. Oh, that's the thing, Brenny. There's a lot of the punter out there. They're frustrated, and we heard it all year on the show.
This is the thing that's upset people because they've got to the grand final, just like Chris has, and they've felt hollow after it, right, because this happened. They can't fix the thing that happened with six to go. There's no rule or rule change or anything except to lessen the burden and say, like, the refs have got to make calls and not have so many people in their ears. They'll fix the trainer thing just as they did in AFL. Get them off the field. Get them. Mate, it's a fatigue sport. We go on and on about, you know, interchange, and we've got to reduce interchange to make it a fatigue sport, yet we allow a trainer to stand behind them and go, okay, you take the hit up, you take the hit up, you pass it wide, now kick downtown.
And it was going to happen one day, wasn't it? The trainer would get involved in what happened.
Had to happen.
Trainer gate. Steve's on the line. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going, boy?
Terrific, good. Steve. What do you got for us, mate?
I've been fortunate, like some, to have a lot of marvellous days at sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
And one in particular, I always believed a bit of pain to get the gain, and patience is the pathway to success. Well, a day at Bong Bong in the 1980s taught my players to be real patient.
It's a good race meeting, isn't it, Steve?
You have a few beers, and it's hard to get rid of them there.
They've changed a few things over the years because it got pretty wild at Bong Bong, I've got to say, but it was certainly worth it. It was, in the old days, it was one heck of a race.
I can imagine, but unlike this SMS we got in, right, there's no name on it, but it says, boys, I was lucky enough to go to the Kentucky Derby and see California Chrome win.
Wow, yeah.
That would have put Bong Bong in the shade, wouldn't it?
Yeah, been to Churchill Downs, but haven't seen the Kentucky Derby. It would be great to do that once. 150,000 they get in there.
How do you get him in?
Oh, I don't know. I tell you what, this man, I think, be on top of the world right now because he came up with a plan for Shadow Hero pretty much 4 months ago after the Brisbane campaign, Brenny, even down to the barrier trials, meticulously planned. He struck a Group 1 pay dirt yesterday with a really promising stay in Shadow Hero. Mark Newnham, the trainer's on the line. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Morning, Neil.
Hey, congratulations, mate. Terrific effort yesterday, and I think what this horse demonstrates what you've known all along, Mark. He's a superior staying three-year-old.
Yeah, look, that's what we've thought and hoped he was, but yesterday he proved it.
And I just thought, I honestly believed he was a special in the race, but Mark, at the 300-metre mark, what was going through your head? Did you think he might have had a bit too much work to do, or did you think he'd get over the top of him?
I was a little worried. Yeah, look, he still had a fair bit to do. I was probably more comfortable, you know, probably 150 out. I could see that, you know, the leaders were starting to come back with him a bit. He was starting to lengthen stride. And, you know, I know how strong he's been at the end of every race he's had. So I think I was comfortable enough from there home. But when they first turned for home, I was a little worried.
Yeah. He was strong again late, as you said, Mark, which he has been in all his races so far. That must give you a lot of confidence going into a Victoria Derby in 3 weeks where he has to stretch out to 2,500.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be an issue for him. He's just, from the time we've had him, he's just been a really naturally relaxed horse, really good lungs, he never blows, so, you know, good clean winded horse, and he's just got a great manner about him. He never wastes any energy. You see him parade, you know, you see him go to the start. He's never has an ounce of sweat on him. He's very economical in the run. He doesn't pull, you know, so he's ideal sort of horse for that race.
Yeah.
So, Mark, he's by Piero. How did you come across him? When did you first come in contact with him? And the second part of the question is, when did you think, I think we've got one?
Mm-hmm. At the classic sale, his owner, David Lloyd, had texted me in the morning, had I seen him. He liked him on pedigree, and I rang him straight back, and I said, yeah, look, I've seen the horse, I really like him, but he's not going to be an early type. So David was happy to buy him with that in mind, and he's probably come on, you know, a bit sooner than I had a thought. You know, I didn't really have him penciled in as a horse that would race at two, but he came on really well the last preparation, and, you know, I thought a trip away to Brisbane would do him the world of good as far as, you know, coming into this spring. Just toughens him up a bit. Gets at him. There was a couple of races there in his right distance range. So, look, as far as his level of ability, probably 2 or 3 weeks before his first start, you know, I took him to Newcastle in a maiden, you know, just a Tuesday meeting. And, you know, when I nominated him, I thought, oh, look, that'll be a race he can go there and win, and we can press on from there. But when the field came out, and there was, you know, Principal Was and Autocratic, who'd already been, you know, group placed, it was a tougher maiden than I'd envisaged. Mm. But he ran really well and ran second, and I sort of had no hesitation in going to a listed race in Brisbane with him at his second start.
Yeah, and what's exciting, looking on from afar, Mark, is this horse has only had his sixth start yesterday, so it's all in front of him, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I didn't waste runs with him at distances where he wouldn't be competitive. You know, I think that's a real negative for these type of horses. They tend to be out of their comfort zone the whole race, and they don't have a good experience, and they don't learn much from it. So I've only ever run him, you know, at distances and in races where he's going to be competitive and travel and be able to finish off. And it's sort of shown now that his racing style and his manners through the race are really good and economical. And now he's getting to these distances, he's able to, you know, switch off early, conserve energy, and then power home late.
Can I ask about the Derby? So you go to the Derby, and then where do you go next year with him, Mark?
Well, look, he'll spell straight after the Derby, and then I'll sit down and work out a plan towards the ATC Derby, and how many runs we need to get to there. You know, he'll follow more than likely a traditional path there from the Randwick Guineas, Rose Hill Guineas, and then, you know, it'll be the Derby, you know, probably third or fourth up. So, look, we'll worry about all that, you know, after we get the Victoria Derby out of the way.
And just finally, Mark, a word on Josh Parr. And the reason I bring that up is because he was under the pump a little bit from stewards and even from some punters after his ride on Batiga, where, as a steward's determined, the horse was just simply run off his feet in a very fast-run race. But you're going into a Group 1 and you've got stewards inquiring about your ride on a beaten favourite early in the day. It can mess with jockeys' heads, but Josh Parr's come out and just ridden an absolute Group 1 classic, hasn't he?
Yeah, and look, from the moment he came out to get on the horse, you wouldn't have known, and I didn't know. Mm. I didn't know he'd been involved in any inquiry through the day, so his demeanour didn't change. Josh is just a really easygoing, likeable fella. Mm. We get on really well together, and we work well together, and it shows in the results. You know, I have confidence in Josh, and the same, you know, with him in our horses and myself. You know, he comes down and does a fair bit of work with them, and, you know, we map out a bit of a plan for each horse so that, you know, we get the best result out of each horse. And, you know, sometimes we'll be talking about a horse that, you know, we're getting ready for a mile maiden because that might be its Melbourne Cup in life. And, yeah, you know, it helps if you've got someone who's part of that process, even from trial time, you know, gallop time, trial time. Mm. You know, it just helps you get that end result. And whether it be like a Group 1 yesterday or, you know, some horses that their best result is a maiden. But, you know, the results we have together, you know, reflect that, yeah, you know, that sort of work ethic.
No, 100%. It was terrific yesterday, as was Shadow Hero, and great preparation, Mark, and now onwards to the Derby. Mark, congratulations for the Group 1 yesterday, and let's hope we're talking to you after Victoria Derby.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Thanks,
well done,
Mark.
Well done.
Thanks
so much. Well, he's done a great job with that horse, Bruni.
Oh, he sure has. The interesting thing was, you know that race you're talking about with Bottega? It was the Stan Fox Stakes. That Collada, mm-hmm. Bottega's stablemate, wins it. Goes out to a lead. They ran a track record.
Yeah.
Over 50, a track record.
Exactly. And
they thought this meeting was going to be rain-affected.
I know.
The rain never turned up.
Did form for a rain-affected track. Normally, Ramek's in a rain belt, Bruni. And it rained all around our place on Friday
Didn't
and Saturday.
Didn't rain in the east?
It was unbelievable. Good four, very fast track. Bottega, to be fair, I was in the steward's inquiry. He lugged in a lot. He was he's an inexperienced horse, having just his third start. He was run off his feet, Bruni.
Mate, he's run off his feet. The Collada, a Brazen Bow, three-year-old, just went crunchola, 127.43. When you break a course record, leading all the way, it's pretty hard to run them down.
7.55 on your Sunday morning.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art livable showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide-line Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse. I can barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Ramwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Whether it's foals, weanlings, yearlings, broodmares, racehorses or stallions, HQ Insurance has you covered. Visit hqinsurance.com.au or call 02 8913 1640. Be sure, insure with HQ.
Love golf? Then hurry into Drummond Golf's huge $2 million clearance. There's loads of great gear reduced, but not for long. So hurry in today. Drummond Golf, Australia's biggest.
Inner Turbo comes to challenge him now. Behind those Wichita, and then comes Monarch of Egypt. Into the closing stages, the dark blue Arizona, the royal blue Peanut Turbo, who's in front of him now. Six from six, Peanut Turbo wins by a couple. Arizona in second.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
That was Pinatubu winning his sixth race from six starts, bringing the Dewhurst in Newmarket.
He's a two-year-old.
They say he's a superstar.
Best two-year-old ever.
Mm.
Wingman Beer have got your back. They're so excited by the new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. They're putting out a challenge. Next time you pick up your regular beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%. Test it back-to-back with your beer, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where they've landed. And if you can't find it at your local, give them a call on 1300 45 beer. 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman Challenge today enjoy responsibly.
Can endorse said product, Brini. Here's Tam with the scratchings.
Thanks, boys. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Coonamble. It's Coonamble Cup Day. The Hawkesbury meeting has been abandoned due to the weather and state of the track. We have the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Panola in South Australia. Starting with Coonamble, the weather is fine. The track are good three, the rail true, and there are 17 scratchings. Race one, take out three, got to be red, number three. Race two, number one, Band in Rain, and number eight, Gisella's Crown, one and eight. Out of the third, number two, Rock Sonic, and four, Tuncuna, two and four. Race four, take out seven, Lady Riz, 16, Fleur de Force, 17, Bentley Gold, and 18, Sagacious Savant, 7, 16, 17, and 18. From race 5, number 1, Carillon, number 1. Race 6, number 2, Over and Above, take out 2. Race 7, number 1, Sugar Dance, and 9, Lama Hilton, 1 and 9 from race 7. And race 8, number 3, Moratai, 14, Mr. McRae, 15, Taramara, and 16, Settlers, 3, 14, 15, and 16 from race 8 at Coonamble. The Sunshine Coast, the weather is fine, the track a soft 7, the rail true, penetrometer 6.65, and there are 12 scratchings. And just note, these are only updated, they're not final yet. Race 1, take out number 3, Watchman, 5, Embattled, and 10, Outback Storm, 3, 5, and 10. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 1, Lil Ruby Rose, and 9, Sentimental Miss, 1 and 9. Race 4, number 2, Rabbit Hunter, 4, VJ Day, and 7, Pay With Cash, 2, 4, and 7. Race 5, number 11, Grey Court, number 11. Out of race 6, number 1, Tarzan, 6, Casino Thoughts, and 7, Owls to Keep, 1, 6, and 7. And race 7 at the Sunshine Coast is clear.
Tan, some tips today. Coonamble, race 4, number 2, Brixton Town, I think it's better the day. On to race 7, Coonamble Cup, number 2, Falcon Island, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, of course, won the Port Macquarie Cup on Friday with Rapido Chaparro looking for the Coonamble Cup today. And I like a horse in the last two today, Brini. Race 8, number 5, Cassie's Sister. So that's the tips for Coonamble today. It's just on 8.01. Here's the news. We'll be back shortly.
Sarah Wombe. Firefighters are still working to contain northern New South Wales bushfires before temperatures rise in coming days. Busby's Flats and Drake fires continue to burn along with several other blazes yesterday after a horror week in which an elderly couple died and at least 55 homes were destroyed. New South Wales Rural Fire Service spokesman James Morris said rain had eased conditions significantly, but it wasn't enough to extinguish the fires. He said crews would keep working to contain them before temperatures and winds rise again in the coming week. And in Western Australia today, there is a severe fire danger advice for the Goldfields, Midlands and Pilbara regions with hot, dry and windy conditions forecast. The Victorian road toll has risen to 215 following the death of a passenger in a truck near Bendigo. Emergency services were called to the Wimmera Highway where a rolled truck was located by a passerby just after 3:30 this morning. The male passenger died at the scene while the male driver was taken to hospital for observation. More than 90% of us aren't eating the recommended amount of fruit and vegetables, and it could be affecting our heart health. Despite them topping the list of foods we know are good for us, latest figures show people are only eating 2.4 serves, less than half the suggested amount. Heart Foundation Heart Health General Manager Bill Stravesky says even adding one more lot of vegetables to the diet has added benefits.
The benefits are the nutrients that the vegetables do have, and it's also about, rather than not having your vegetables and eating discretionary food, what we do know is discretionary food is lower in nutrients. So your body misses out on the vital nutrients that it needs.
Overseas, torrential rain and tornado-like winds are lashing large parts of Japan as the country endures what could be its worst storm for 60 years. The eye of Typhoon Hagibis made landfall southwest of Tokyo. As Lucy Kraft reports, Tokyo is currently a ghost town.
One of the eeriest things about this storm is how it has shut down one of the busiest, most heavily populated urban areas on the planet. Even during major holidays, Tokyo never sleeps. Someone somewhere is always open for business, and someone somewhere is always ready to party. The trains run every single day reliably on time. Japan's Shibuya Entertainment District is usually as busy as New York's Times Square. Today, it's a ghost town. Again, this is something that we just never see.
Kurdish forces facing a sustained Turkish attack in northern Syria are demanding U.S. forces help them. The BBC's Martin Patience has more.
President Donald Trump effectively gave Turkey the green light for this operation last Sunday, but now he's saying he's considering possible sanctions against Turkey, and that follows an intense criticism from the U.S. Congress. It's not clear whether or not those sanctions will actually come into effect, but what is clear is that many people around the world are deeply concerned by what's going on here, and President Erdogan has made very clear he's not going to back down.
And petrol bombs have been thrown inside a train station and government offices have been set alight in Hong Kong. The city is experiencing its 19th weekend of protests and unrest. This is AIR News. A record lap time by Scott McLaughlin has seen the Supercars Championship leader record pole position for the Bathurst 1000. Rain stayed away for a stunning top 10 shootout, which saw fellow Ford Mustang driver Chas Mostert qualify second fastest. McLaughlin has told Fox Sports it was an exhilarating lap.
Coming down the hill, I was pretty fast there, and I was like, geez, this is good. So I just got to hold on to it, hold on to the thing, and then I just threw it into the chase and threw it in the last corner, and it held on, and she stuck well.
Melbourne Victory and City have played out a nil-all draw in their local A-League derby. The Western Sydney Wanderers edged out the Central Coast Mariners 2-1. A third-quarter NBL fightback wasn't enough for the Adelaide 36ers, going down to the Sydney Kings 102-80 last night. Russia's Daniil Medvedev has remarkably reached his ninth final of the season after he defeated Stefanos Tsitsipas 7-6, 7-5 at the Shanghai Masters. Medvedev will meet Germany's Alexander Zverev in today's final. Ireland are through to the Rugby World Cup quarterfinals after defeating Samoa 47-5. Essendon and Sydney have held talks over a trade for Joe Danaher, but the Bombers' request for a 2-for-1 deal suggests a deal is unlikely before the end of the trade period on Wednesday. And University of Sydney rowers have come out on top at the 11th annual Australian boat race against the University of Melbourne. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, number one in racing. Heard throughout the state, including Kyogle on 88.0 FM, Ulladulla on 87.6 FM, Yass on 107.9 FM, and Wollongong on 1314 AM.
12 horses, 1,200 metres and $14 million to be won or lost in about 70 seconds. Kickstart Everest weekend with a bang Thursday, October 17 at the Royal Oak with Double Bay's biggest Calcutta. With a guaranteed starting pool of $5,000, get involved in the world's richest race on turf in their newly renovated sports bar. You've got to be in it to win it, so get down to the Oak and get your tickets for just $1. Plus, a portion of the final prize pool will be donated to Bondi Nippers. Start your Everest weekend with the Royal Oak's Everest Calcutta, October 17. Visit royaloakdoublebay.com.au for details.
Hi there, Sydney traffic update here with absolutely nothing to report. All lanes clear on the M5 East, General Holmes Drive, even Oxford Street. Where is everyone? Hang on, a huge crowd over at Royal Randwick. Of course, it's the Tab Everest. Clearly, it's the only place to be.
The Tab Everest, the world's richest race on turf. Saturday, 19th of October, Royal Randwick. Gamble responsibly. For gambler's help, 1-800-858-858.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Looking for space to live and time for life? Live at the Hermitage Gledswood Hills in the heart of one of Sydney's fastest growing regions. Search the Hermitage Gledswood Hills today. In Westmead, crews replacing a telegraph pole on the Great Western Highway have knocked out an outbound lane near Coleman Street, and road closures for the spring cycle between North Sydney and Olympic Park, including the Harbour Bridge, which is down to two lanes each way, and they've dropped the speed limit to 40 k's an hour. Football's back, and you can catch champion Sydney FC in action against Wellington at Leichhardt Oval, Sunday, October 20 at 6 p.m. For tickets, search Sydney FC. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, interstate weather.
We'll go around that. the country here. Sydney today heading for a top temperature of 20 degrees, partly cloudy day for Sydney. Melbourne's becoming cloudy, a top of 22. Brisbane, partly cloudy, a warm day, 25 degrees. Over in Perth, partly cloudy as well, just 21 today. Adelaide warming up, but potential shower this afternoon, top of 24. Hobart, a cool day, partly cloudy and 18. Darwin, as it always is this time of year, mostly sunny, a top of 34. And the nation's capital in Canberra today, partly cloudy and 20 degrees.
10 metres out, but good defence from George Griffin. Here's Coote now. Coote, Percival back across the field. Little kick from Percival. Haymore is chasing, and he might have got there.
And right from the get-go, they have dominated every single facet of the game.
Picked up by Upton. The siren is about to ring. The Broncos celebrate success once more.
40-metre line, his own end. Cheery. Churchill medals last year.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show. Neil Breen filling in for Jimmy Smith this morning. Jimmy's having a well-earned weekend off. I'm Ray Thomas. Plenty coming up in the second hour. We'll talk to Zorba shortly. We'll go over plenty about the NRL Grand Final of last week. David Hayes and Matt Smith both had big Group 1 winners at Caulfield yesterday. We'll talk to them. Brenny, you're in the hot seat for Jimmy in the Event Cinemas quiz.
Yes.
Pressure's on you.
Well,
Jimmy will be blowing up if he doesn't win.
Yeah, you've got him towed up this year.
I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, you've got him.
It's up to four cartons.
Obviously on Sunday mornings I listen and I'm always to or from the pool at about that time having a swim. Geez, he whinges a lot about the quiz and conspiracy.
He's a paranoid man, We'll also talk to
he'll be paranoid after he gets this email from Don from Carlton.
I'll just quickly mention also Jared Daffy with all Tab Prices shortly. Don from Carlton's a regular contributor on a Sunday morning. We like his contributions, but invariably he sizes up our man Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, he's come off the top rope here. Thank God the ultimate Roosters apologist Jimmy Smith has taken the coward's way out and pulled a heart muscle rather than front up to a hostile Sunday morning listener audience. You can only hide for so long, Jimmy. Don from Carlton.
He doesn't miss, Jimmy.
No, he doesn't miss. Here, let's get to a couple of other ones here, a couple of other SMSs. Bucket list. Managed to do US Masters and a close second Monaco Formula One. That's not bad. Both iconic and lived up to height. What about this one? Morning, gents. Bucket list item for some has to be Mount Isa Rodeo. It's not on people's bucket list. I've got a tip for you. Anyway, he says, Wednesday rodeo, Thursday races, Friday Mardi Gras and rodeo, then rodeo Saturday and Sunday. Plenty of great musicians as well. His liver is still recovering. Adam from Bundaberg.
Mount Isa, that'd be a tough gig.
Mount Isa Rodeo, no, it's not on my bucket list.
Be a tough gig. We'll go to the NRL Grand Final decider because I want to talk to Zorba about his thoughts on what happened last week. Roosters 14, Canberra Raiders 8. Zorb, good morning. Brenny's had plenty to say. And Zorb, what was your take on what was a pulsating Grand Final decider?
Oh, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Brini. First up, I'll pay $1,000 not to go to the Mount Isa Rodeo.
It's not my go either.
Look, I thought, the best side all year probably won in the end. I don't know if they were the best side on grand final day. I thought Canberra were very brave. They got the rough end of the pineapple with a couple of decisions which are in the rule book, but quite frankly, I think, you know, the rule book's wrong on it. I mean, the trainers on the field, it's been a problem for so long, and it's reared its head in the opening minutes of a grand final. I thought the sight of that smiling Roosters billiard ball cost the team a try in the opening minutes of a grand final.
Zorba, when I was sitting in the stand watching it, and it happened in the third minute, and then the Roosters, you know, were able to get a repeat set of six because of it, then another repeat set of six, and they scored.
Yeah.
I turned to the people next to me, I said, I've got a bad feeling about this game. It just instantly, and everyone goes, what a great grand final. I struggled to enjoy it after that. I don't know why, Zorba. I just thought, this is wrong.
Well, I've seen things happen in our game that shouldn't happen. I mean, I think it's an insult. And we've got to blame the coaches here because they are very insisting that these folks are on the field so much and the NRL allows them to, 3 minutes into a game, they don't need water. There were no injuries at that stage. What were they doing on the field other than doing the coach's bidding? I think it's an insult to the players. I think it's an insult to the coaches who employ them. I think it's a bloody insult to the game and the people who pay their money.
What do you reckon will happen in the off-season, Zorba? Well, do you reckon something will happen, you know, like the rules committee or something?
I'm hoping somebody can get to Peter Vlandis, our new chairman, and I think that he's a mover and shaker. He realises there are issues in the game, and I think this is a good starting point. Their entry into the game should be severely restricted. I mean, some trainers might as well take a tent out with them and camp out there because they're on the whole game.
Langer's good at that, Zorb.
Well, it's only because we recognise Alfie. It was the same when Tuvey was doing it.
Yeah.
But they're all the same. They're all out there. I mean, Willie Peters from South Sydney, he's never off. It's a blot on the game. And again, the two refs just simply hasn't worked. With a six again, no six again ruling, which ultimately led to the match-winning try. The result of these issues are just not good enough. I mean, had there been one referee, he would have ruled six again and he would have had to live or die by what happened after that. But what happened after the resultant decision last Sunday was a Roosters match-winning try.
Changing the call mid-tackle.
It was a tough call. I thought Ricky Stewart showed great restraint and the Canberra club. Everyone I've talked to in the week following the game aren't talking about the football. They're talking about those issues. They're one side or the other. They're saying, oh, you know, they were okay or they weren't okay. But they're not talking about the football.
It's disappointing.
And the big problem with this is we've now got some employees at League Central, which is overloaded with staff, according to Danny Widler, and it'll be right in the Sun Herald today, they're up for $1 million in bonuses. And evidently, the new chairman and the NRL board commission can decide. It's up to their discretion as to whether they get it or not. Well, here's a good starting point. Give the $1 million to promoting and doing something for the game in the South Pacific, which everyone ignores. Give them the $1 million and let them get a little bit of a toehold in our game that we want to spread. We use their players, we take all their best players, and we do nothing to develop the game. Well, let's not give the already bulging pockets of those employed at the NRL any more for simply meeting a monetary criteria. I mean, there are issues with the game with falling TV ratings. Crowds aren't all that crash hot. We need more junior development, particularly in the country. I mean, there's so much they could do with $1 million that I don't see how they're entitled to any more money on what's gone on this year.
I'll tell you what, so one thing Peter Vlandis does do, he operates on a shoestring budget. I can state that as a fact because I've seen it in racing. So he'll come in and he'll look at all those things and he'll bring all those cash blowouts into line. So just back on two things you did mention.
He needs people, Ray, to make him aware of them.
He'll be aware, don't worry.
The person I would go to is a person he should put on his commission. I hear he may be, and that's John Quayle.
Yeah, he's a good man, John Quayle.
Brilliant administrator.
Yeah.
He spent the last 15 years virtually working overseas with Olympic committees. He's been on Stadiums Australia, and he's a brilliant administrator. I would be picking his brain and his knowledge of the game and the feeling for the public at every moment.
Two things you mentioned earlier, so I just wanted to ask you about again. I thought Ricky Stewart did show a lot of restraint and class in the way he handled that post-match press conference. Everyone thought he'd be Mount Vesuvius.
Well, he didn't want to do what he did in 2008 after Australia. Kangaroos cost to lost the World Cup final, and he blew up at Ashley Klein the next day.
Full credit for him.
Sword.
Yeah, he learned from that. Full credit to him. And so we mentioned about the two refs. Do you want to go back to the one ref system, Zorb?
Oh, I've always wanted to. I never saw the need for two. I don't think it's worked. We're the only country playing rugby league that does it. We go to England, we play under one ref. International laws, one ref. But no, we've got two. And we've trialled it, and we've had it, and we've used it, and I don't know why it's still in. I can't find too many people in our game that have knowledge of our game that like it.
Yeah, well,
players don't like it.
Mm. Zorba, it's come about because of high definition TV. You know what I mean? You think of 1986 Zorba and whether Maradona, you know, was it the hand of God or not, well, you couldn't really tell. Now you can tell, right? Mm. And then, so they just panic about everything being absolutely perfect. Anyway, like the Prime Minister's 13 was on in Fiji. What did you make of it, Zorba? And what did you make of ScoMo, our Prime Minister, being the water boy and the chief selector? He got right into it.
I just thought it was fantastic.
Mm, yep.
And what a wonderful sporting PM we've got in Scott Morrison. We know he loves his rugby league. He loves the Sharks, New South Wales and Australia. Mm. But the vision of him in his Aussie team polo running water for the PM's 13 in Suva on Friday night, I thought it was priceless.
Yeah, it was good.
Loves his sport, loves the opportunity to get out there and mix with them. He's in the dressing rooms as much as he can. He is taking advantage of his position, and that's great. We see him at Shark Park with his children, sitting in the stands, watching and cheering the Sharks on with his Cronulla Sharks scarf on. And it's not for show. It's not to win votes.
No, he's genuine.
Whereas the other PMs we've had, most of them didn't know what sport was. John Howard had an idea and loved his St George Illawarra Dragons.
Hawkey had an idea.
Hawkey had an idea, and so did Tony Abbott. But really, when you think of it, none of them had the passion that ScoMo's got. And how lucky are we to live where we do in the world? Can you imagine leaders of other countries out and about like he was on Friday night? No sign of any bodyguards. I don't think there were any because they couldn't. There was nobody actually following him.
Mm.
He just went where he wanted to go, and you could see there was no one trailing him. I just thought it was fantastic, and it wouldn't happen in many parts of the world.
Yeah.
We're so lucky. We should embrace that.
Exactly. Hey Zorba, I mentioned Debrini earlier. You've been championing Jackson Hastings and a potential return to the NRL for a couple of weeks now. Unfortunately, your Salford side couldn't get the job done overnight. St Helens have won the English Super League 23-6, but Jackson's
heading. Several NRL clubs have been in touch with his manager to see if he would return home rather than take up his new deal at Wigan, but I think he's going to stay in England. He was named this week as the Man of Steel, which is the best player in the competition. But they got beaten 23-6 a couple of hours ago. That game finished at the home of Manchester United at Old Trafford. And
64,000 there too.
Yeah, great crowd. And Salford's a fairy tale story. It was much better in the Women's League where an Aussie halfback did win the best player in the competition. She did win the competition for a side as well, with the Leeds Rhinos beating Castleford in a crackerjack game of women's rugby league, the grand final. Both those sides would give Brisbane a real run for their money. The Australian women's premiers, but Courtney Hill is a name to remember. I understand she's coming back to Australia. She may take up cricket rather than rugby league, but she's a brilliant halfback and was easily, in my opinion, the best player on the field. Justin Holbrook gets the job at the Gold Coast Titans after leading St Helens to the Super League competition. He's a good coach. He's going to need to be to get that basket case up and running up there on the Gold Coast. Luke Thompson, the Pommy prop that every NRL club would want in their side, won the Harry Sunderland medal for best player on the field. He's a giant of a man, and I think it's only a matter of time before someone lures him to Australia to play, maybe Ricky Stewart in the future.
Well, we know Zorba, looking at what happened in Canberra,
it can work. Mm. You can get those players and bring them out here and they can compete. Hey, can we move on to what your thoughts are about the West Tigers next year? It just seems to be weird. His son Masters now is being allowed to go. We still don't know what's going on with Madison. What's happening?
Well, their best forward is gone in Madison, as you just mentioned, and now arguably their best back in Esan Masters. It simply says the West Tigers and their fans, you won't be making the eight again next season. There is an issue there, for sure. There's been a lot of circling and suggestions that maybe they're not getting on with the coach all that well. Certainly Madison hasn't been. And to have players like that leave is a big worry for a club. And I can't see them rebuilding, replacing, and being anywhere near a force next year.
I'm with you, Zorba. They are a worry for mine. Like, compare them to the Roosters, where it all starts in the front office. Mm. The West Tigers, I don't know, Concord, Leichhardt, West Sashfield, Balmain, Campbelltown, Bankwest, ANZ. I don't know. I can't understand the fabric.
No, it's a worry, and their fans must be scratching their head. It's been a long time between drinks for them in the finals.
Yeah, no, exactly. Hey, Zorb, we can get our footy fix next week. World Cup Nines at Bankwest.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
have you heard anybody talk about it? I haven't.
No.
I just think the scheduling is all wrong. Maybe at the start of the year we used to have the sevens. Well, don't care if it's an extra two on the field, and at least we're hungry for a game at the start of the season. But next weekend at Bankwest Stadium, as I said, does anyone care? I hope I'm terribly wrong. But as I said, I can't find too many people showing interest. 12 teams in the men's and 4 in the women. Australia will be up against traditional rivals England and New Zealand with, wait for it, the Cook Islands, France, Lebanon, USA, Wales, amongst the chook fodder.
Yeah.
I just find, I mean, if they're going to let people in for nothing, well, good, but I don't think they will. I just can't see where they're going to make it work.
Well,
and we've got test matches to come.
Yeah, well, you've got, after that, you've got Australia playing New Zealand and Wollongong, and then we're going to New Zealand to play Tonga, which is actually on Derby Day. But in the men's draw, 6 o'clock till 9:20 on Friday night. Saturday, it starts at 11:55, goes to a final at 9 o'clock at night, Zorba. But anyway, unbelievable. We've got to move on, I think, that way, Ray.
I can't believe we're putting it on. I really don't. Anyway, it's on, and let's hope they do get a crowd there.
Exactly. Hey, Zorb, we've got a fly, mate. Really appreciate it. We're going to talk to you next week, Zorb.
I'm here if you want me, boy.
Okay. Well, good
Zorb
on you, Zorb.
Zorb is responsible for match reports on all World Nines games.
We'll talk next week, Zorb.
See you, Zorb.
Okay.
8:25 on your Sunday morning.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Ramwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
12 horses, 1,200 metres and $14 million to be won or lost in about 70 seconds. Kickstart Everest weekend with a bang Thursday, October 17 at the Royal Oak with Double Bay's biggest cow cutter. With a guaranteed starting pool of $5,000, get involved in the world's richest race on turf in their newly renovated sports bar. You've got to be in it to win it, so get down to the Oak and get your
tickets for just $1. Plus, a portion of the final prize pool will be donated to Bondi Nevers. Start your Everest weekend with the Royal Oaks Everest Calcutta, October 17. Visit royaloakdoublebay.com.au for details.
In the courtyard of a pub, some people get to talking and decide to split a bag of peanuts or go halves in a bowl of chips. Others consider sharing something bigger, like a cheese board. Then there are those who go, how about everybody chips in and buys a racehorse? They soon realise that's unlikely. So they get excited about taking out a group quaddy together instead. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And that was Enable just failing in her bid to become the first to win a third arc. Hey, Bruni, big money, black type, brilliant hospitality. Perth Racing's Equine All-Stars incentive scheme subsidises the cost of sending your horses to this year's last three Group 1 races. Find out more at perthracing.com.au and nominate today for serious horseplay. Closes tomorrow.
Wish I had good enough. Awesome one to good go enough there. To send it over there, Ray. Look, we'll just quickly read out a text or two. Morning, Ray, Tanya and Neil. No Jimmy today, hey? Should be a quiz with our controversy. The quiz is coming up soon. Unless, of course, Breenie uses voice inflections. Cheers, Glenn, the Newcastle Eagle. What's going on there? And Danny from Yarunga talks about the bucket list. I was lucky enough to get to the 2010 Dubai World Cup. In true Dubai style, everything's bigger than and better with an amazing show before the cup. Apart from that, it's the Yarunga Builders Picnic Golf Day each December. What would happen each December at the Yarunga Builders Picnic? There wouldn't be a one carton per person maximum there.
That'd be the warm-up, wouldn't it? That'd be the barrier trial.
Ready for a caller?
I've got John on the line. John, good morning.
Morning, Neil. Morning, Ray.
Hey, John.
Terrific, mate.
I enjoyed both your work in the Herald and Telegraph, fellas, for years, especially you, Ray. I've been reading your columns for a long, long time, mate.
Thanks, John. This is the old this is the old boss here, John. He used to be the Sunday telly editor, my man Bruni. So.
Neil, I was interested in your comments during the Ashes. They were, I didn't agree with a lot of them, mate, if I may say.
Yeah.
But they were great, it was great writing, nonetheless.
Thank you.
Fellas, I'm actually, what I want to talk, you led into what I want to talk about with being a long-time West Tigers fan. Neil, did you read Malcolm Knox's column late last week before the grand final regarding the Roosters and the overall health of the NRL?
I can't recall. I read most things.
Yep.
And sometimes I read too much, John, to be honest with you.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm guilty of that as well. But, mate, what it alluded to the actual health of the competition, using the Roosters as a barometer and actually... Is their success a camouflage for the health of the rest of the competition?
Yeah.
West Tigers are a case in point. Like I said, I've followed them all the years. And what I'm leading to is, do you seriously see anyone, apart from possibly Parramatta, coming from back in the pack and challenging the existing three or four dominant sides this year, next year? Because I don't see it.
Look, I can't. If you go through them, the Titans...
The Dragons can do better. The Dragons should...
Okay, so the Dragons are a side that can do something, and so are the Broncos.
And the Panthers, probably.
But the Broncos look light years at the moment.
Yeah.
The other two Queensland teams at the moment, no.
Gonski.
Newcastle, something's not right there. Can Dez keep doing it on a shoestring at Manly?
Yeah.
Maybe, or are they going to be, you know, are Manly going to be a 6th to 12th team every year?
If the Trbojevic brothers are fit, they're top four potentially, aren't they?
But it's like I said before, John, you've got to hope that there's another Canberra out there. You've got to hope that the Dragons or somebody. Actually, the story I loved this week was Roy Masters' piece about what a basket case the Dragons were because of the Jack DeBellin situation, which is tricky for us to talk about because it's legal.
Yep.
But it just tied the knots, tied the players in knots.
And there's only one way the Dragons go, and that's up from there because they've had an absolute
from
shocker.
From second last.
Correctly. Fitzy's on the line. He may have a solution to the referees' issues. Fitzy, good morning.
Hey, Fitzy.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Terrific, mate.
How are you, Ray? What a great day of racing yesterday, eh?
Were you out there, Fitzy?
Mate, I didn't get out there, okay. But I went for lunch and had it on my phone all day. So
it's going to be great through the spring. Get Sydney and Melbourne, great racing.
Hasn't racing changed? Had it on my phone all day.
What about Ball of Muscle? How good does that old war horse keep going?
Joe Pride said on the radio yesterday morning that the horse just hates Moonee Valley and he can bounce back. And didn't he run a race?
No, he was right.
Yeah, I thought still back tracking after Moonee Valley. I thought that might have been the end of him, but hats off to Joe.
Yep.
Now, boys, my challenge is that I'm a Shark supporter.
Yep.
I was going for the Raiders, obviously, because you weren't going for the Roosters. But we haven't given any credit. I don't think the poor old Roosters got any credence for what they've done because of the refereeing decisions. But in saying that, I think the refereeing decision, all it did was it did change the game. We don't know what would have happened if the Raiders got to their kick or what might have happened. But why do we not use the linesman to get rid of the second referee? Why do we not use the linesman to mark the 10?
Well,
similar to soccer, and just the referee can have a quick glance. He puts his flag up there offside.
Well, see now that
in the old days.
See what's happened in rugby league, and this is very astute from Fitzy, right? Is these referees are all professional now. There's way more in the ranks of full-time referees than there used to be.
Yep.
So when two refs came in, there weren't so many. Now there's a lot. Those touchies, they're all part of the system, right? They're out there training every day. They're based out of ANZ.
So why can't they build on to do more?
Yeah, so they can do more now. Yeah. They can cope with more. And the bunkers now there can help as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, look.
It's a good call, Fitzy, and there's a lot of things to consider.
Look, of all the people I feel sorry for most in the grand final, it's Ben Cummins. I just feel so sorry for him. But he's at the centre of it. And
human error, you can't eradicate that.
I know.
Yeah. Matthew Smith had a terrific day yesterday. We're hoping to get to him shortly about Fierce Impact. Because I asked you, Brini, what that horse would be worth now. He's so well bred. He could be worth anything as a stallion prospect. And it was a terrific training by Matt because he took the horse away from an Epsom where he looked a live chance, thought, no, I can win a Toorak. And we've got Matt on the line. Matt, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
Hey, Matt.
Terrific.
How you going, lads?
Good.
Hey, Matt, congratulations on what was a great training effort. You could have gone to the Epsom, but you had the focus on the Toorak. Can you explain that decision? Obviously, it's paid off, but the Epsom was there potentially. He showed against Colding. He was right up there, but you were happy to go Toorak.
Yeah, we sort of... Look, he's a horse that definitely appreciates having that extra week between runs.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he was coming off a first-up run, quite a big effort in first-up, I just felt I didn't want to go back 2 weeks later. I just wanted to give him that time to get over the run. And he was able to have a nice, easy week the week after that race and just really picked him up and got him back in form. And just having that extra 2 weeks was just better for this horse. And so we were either going to the Epsom or the Toorak, but the Toorak probably with the 3 weeks between runs was really our focus. So it was good to pull it off.
Yeah, it was a fantastic run, and it was a competitive race, the Toorak Handicap. It was a big field. What do you do with him now, Matt? Where are you going to head to with Fierce Impact?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. I mean, I suppose it's either the... we've paid up for the Cox Plate all the way through, so it'd either be the Cox Plate or the Cantala Mile at Flemington.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be one of those two. I'm not sure that he'd get in the Cox Plate at this point in time. So I'll probably bring Greg Carpenter tomorrow and just see where he... think he fits in, just so I can get a plan together. So I'd like to focus up on whichever race so we get it right. So if he doesn't think we'll get in the Cox Plate, we'll go to the Cantala.
So you win the Group 1 Toorak Handicap, the time-honoured Toorak Handicap run on Caulfield Guineas Day every year. We've seen Toorak Handicap winners like Cole Diesel and the Might and Power. They've gone on and I'm not sure if Might and Power ran in the Toorak, but they've gone on and blitzed them in the Caulfield Cup. How can he not get into a Cox Plate after winning a Group 1 mile?
I'm with you, but I mean, I think, he'd probably be on the borderline today.
Yeah, it's amazing. Actually, you know what, Matty, Brini, Cole Diesel was a very good classic example. 30 years ago, Cole Diesel, he actually won the Caulfield Cup. Couldn't get into the Cox Plate the next week. And Matt, I don't think this is as strong a Cox Plate, or nowhere near as strong as it was back then. So either way, can I ask you then, Matt, what's his best distance? Because I thought his Summer Cup win back in December last year at 2000 was excellent, but he showed a terrific turn of foot yesterday over the mile.
Yeah, look, with the blinkers have certainly really straightened him out and focused him. I mean, you've got to remember, Pre-Rata only beat him a couple of lengths in the All Age, you know, in the 1400 Group One at Randwick. So I don't know now. Like, I feel 2000 is absolutely no problem for him whatsoever. But, you know, now he's got the blinkers on, he might be more effective at that 14 to a mile. Mm. You know, he definitely showed a turn of foot yesterday we haven't seen before, and the same first up at Randwick, he showed an explosive turn of foot. So, yeah, I think we just got to... I suppose now we're at the mile, we'll stick at the mile now, but, you know, next preparation, we could sort of focus up on some shorter races maybe and see what happens.
Yeah.
So he's a Japanese horse. How did he come to you, Matt?
So he was identified by Arvo Demijan from Tried and True Bloodstock, and we do a lot of work with Arvo with these overseas horses, and he identified him at the Tat sale, actually, and we were pretty keen to buy him. He was a son of Deep Impact, and he was out of a group-winning mare. He had a great pedigree. And we bought him out of the Tried sale over there, and I think his last race over there was over 2,600. And we got him back to Australia and sort of worked out pretty quick he could win over shorter distances. And he won at Randwick over 1,400, second up here in Australia. And we've had taken a bit of time to develop him. He wasn't a straightforward horse when we get them. Some of these horses that go through the Tried horse sales, they've got some bad habits, and he had a few bad habits. So it did take us quite a while to sort him out, but certainly now that patience has paid off. Because he could have easily gone the wrong way, but now he's comfortable and confident. He's racing and he's doing well. So, yeah, you know, it's been a big team effort all round. And you know, we've got some great owners in the horse. They've been so supportive of the stable, Francis and Chris Cook, and we've got Nick Sheen and Dennis Shop and Darren Thomas and from Adelaide and Mark Pilkington. So we've got a fantastic group of owners in the horse. It's been outstanding, you know.
Yeah, and Matt, it's probably an unfair question to ask you, but given now he's a Group 1 winner, given his extraordinary international bloodlines, what's he worth for his impact?
Yeah, like he's a full Group 1 winner. He's quite deep impact out of a Group winner. He's got to be worth something now, you know.
If I said 10 mil...
He's got to be on the radar. Yeah. He certainly... with the breeding the way it's gone in Australia, it's changed now, and horses like this will be well received, you know. So I think he's definitely he's worth good money now. Yeah. I'm just delighted for everybody involved.
Sounds like you're ready to catch a plane back, Matty. Just one quick one, Sweet Thomas. Yeah. Was the track a bit too firm for him yesterday?
Oh, look, Dwayne said he travelled really well. He seemed to think that he's just not acclimatised yet. You know, it's just not mentally got his mind on the job.
Right.
And we sort of, his work's been great at home, but he hasn't been taken for the races. And I suppose we had a bit of a question mark coming down to Melbourne with him, but his work's been so good, I thought we'll roll the dice. But, yeah, he'll be having a break now. We'll get him ready for the autumn. We'll give him a break and just give him some time to get acclimatised, and we'll go from there with him.
Terrific. Hey, Matt, we don't want you to miss that plane. Congratulations on Fierce Impact's win. Great training coup, and we look forward to seeing the horse again during the spring.
No, thanks to me, and much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Terrific.
Bye.
Hey, very short, we'll go to the quiz. How are you feeling? You're under a lot of pressure there.
I'm under no pressure at all in the quiz.
Jimmy Smith will be listening.
If I blow it on behalf of Jimmy, I really
don't
care.
Call now on 1353. Exactly, he'll be listening, though. Call now on 1353 to be part of the quiz. Jimmy Smith needs a win. I'm almost over the line for the four cartons. But you can win Event Cinema's tickets for two. So call now 1353 to be part of the quiz.
Does your small business need new equipment, another renovation, a little more stock, or even some extra staff? A business loan could help. Look no further than OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group are trusted by over 80,000 small businesses worldwide and have already lent over $10 billion globally. So for a loan to grow your business with money in your account as fast as the next business day, visit ondeck.com.au now. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art livable showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
Meet Paul. As project manager for Cloud Construction, he's forced to keep every project on track, keep the cash flow positive, and explain all delays and overruns. It's enough to drive him crazy. But then he discovered CAT Projects, the ultimate project management tool. With a 24/7 project management system, an audit trail that minimizes disputes, and a team that's in sync with every project, he can finally kiss his worries goodbye.
Standing amongst champions, greats of Australian sport that have not only inspired generations of athletes, have inspired generations of people, and every single person in this room has had a role in impacting a nation from a sporting point of view. And I'm extremely humbled to be standing here right now.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
That was Ash Barty, the Don Award winner. Brini, isn't she an absolute star, a role model for all of us, because she's humble and...
And also went about a professional sports career the right way. She was a child prodigy. She rose to fame in doubles. She doubted herself. She went to cricket. She went back to tennis, number one in the world.
Yeah, and
like, unbelievable. There's a good list of nominees for that Don Award.
Was.
Cooper Cronk was in there as well. Well deserved.
Yeah, exactly. What I like about Ash Barty, she keeps things in perspective, doesn't she?
And she keeps things simple.
Oh, she does. And
like when she won the French Open, she was coming out and doing media out the front, just on her own.
No, she's fantastic. Hey, Brini, do you like Terminator, the movies?
Yes, I did.
Well, this is for you, and this is for anyone who likes Terminator. The event cinemas, the moment you have been waiting for is finally here, bringing the highly anticipated blockbuster Terminator Dark Fate is now on sale, with the return of the franchise creator James Cameron and its iconic star Arnold Schwarzenegger. The ultimate big screen spectacle features intense action and cutting edge special visual effects. March into Max with VMAX and head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets. Now imagine watching the big screen, Brini.
Yeah.
Be Arnie. Arnie's back.
He's back.
He's back.
He's given up politics. He's back.
Okay, quiz time, Brini. Because you're in as a guest today, thanks for filling in. You can call. This is very important. This is the coin toss. Decide who goes first or second. You can call, Brini.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
Live radio. It's all the best here.
It's landed on me and it's heads.
You're
call. Guilty.
Your call. Do you want to open the batting or come in number two?
This is the Melbourne Cup, right? I like to come from behind.
Okay.
I'm not a Waterhouse bot stable runner over 1,200.
Okay. You want me to open the batting?
Yeah, you open the batting.
Okay. That means Hayden is playing for me. Hayden, good morning.
Morning.
How are you feeling, Hayden? Confident?
Yeah, should be. We'll see what the questions are.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. What is the name of the new Melbourne A-League club?
Western United.
Oh, solid start, Hayden. Well done. Question number two. Brini's getting nervous already, Hayden.
Already.
Where was Australian cricketer Aaron Finch born? It's multiple choice, Hayden. A was at Cobar, B Colac, C Cobram.
Colac.
Well done, Hayden. He's rock solid. Here we go. Question number three. Again, multiple choice, Hayden. How many times in their history have the Roosters won back-to-back grand finals? A, once. B, twice. C, three times.
C.
Hayden.
Is he kidding? He never hesitated on one of them.
Unbelievable. Over to you, Brini. I'm sorry to say, Brini, you need three in a row.
I've got Jay from Newcastle on the line, and Jay...
pressure's on.
We need three from three, brother.
I'll do my best.
We need
good
three
luck,
from three. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We'll get this one, I'm confident. Which driver has won the most Bathurst 1000 titles?
Peter Brock.
Yes.
Good start. Good start. Hey, Jay. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. Game on now. Game on.
Okay. Where was the Raiders' Josh Hodgson born? Was it A, Kingston upon Hull, B, Stratford upon Avon, or C, Ross upon Wye? So A, B, or C?
I'm going to go with B.
Stratford upon Avon. We're gone.
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one, but so were the other ones. Question three, anyway, for posterity.
Or you want to throw it to Jay if he's still there? No, he's probably gone.
Is he there?
What's question three?
Well, it was, which team's at the bottom of the English Premier League table? West Ham, Wolves or Watford?
Do you want to ask
Jay there?
I'll say Watford.
Yeah, he only went down by one in the end.
Bad luck, Jay. Well, anyway, that was a good start.
Jimmy
will say it's a rort. He'll say that the Josh Hodgson question was harder than the Aaron Finch question. But Hayden, hey, guess what, mate? Outstanding, Hayden. Clean sweep. Where do you live, Hayden?
Camden.
Is there there's an event cinema's near there, isn't there?
Yeah, around the corner.
Terrific. Hey, congratulations, mate. Stay on the line and we'll get your details and get those tickets out to you straight away.
And well done to Jay, too. That was a pretty good effort. Good he effort got Brock and Watford.
I've got no idea what the score is. I think I'm 4 or 5 in front. So we're getting down to the last few weeks of the year.
Mate, the number's in the frame.
You think I'm home?
Number is in the frame, Ray Thomas. We've
got Jared Daffy coming up very shortly. But firstly, this is important, Brenny. 12 horses, 1,200 metres, and $14 million to be won or lost in less than 70 seconds. $14 million, Jimmy. Brenny, kickstart Everest weekend, though, with a bang on Thursday, October 17. That's Thursday night at the Royal Oak with Double Bay's biggest Calcutta. With a guaranteed starting pool of $5,000, get involved in the world's richest race on turf in the newly renovated sports bar at the Royal Oak at Double Bay. You've got to be in it to win it, so get down to the Oak and get your tickets for just $1, Brenny, plus a portion of the final prize pool will be donated to the Bondi Nippers. Start your Everest weekend with the Royal Oak's Everest Calcutta, October 17. Visit Royal Oak, Double Bay. .com.au for details. Sensational.
Who are you tipping in the Everest, right?
I think Pirat at this stage, but obviously the Barry draw is so crucial because there's nothing between these 12 horses, and the draw is important for some of these horses and their racing patterns. If Red Zell draws a soft barrier, he's right in the contest. If In Her Time draws a soft barrier and gets run of the race stuff, she could win it.
The best thing that happened to the race was James Harron picking Nature Strip.
Pacing it.
You're just going to put pace in the race. It's just, I'm not saying it wasn't a great contest the last 2 years. It was a fabulous sprinting contest, but I just think this year.
It is phenomenal.
Anyway, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Arcadia Queen, the
fair
fairy
enough.
Tale story.
No, fair enough. I reckon this man will have an opinion. Jared Daffy's on the line. Jared, good morning. And we're just saying that who runs last in the Everest? Because any one of these 12 horses is capable of winning the race next Saturday.
Good morning, boys. Well, who runs first?
I've got no idea.
Actually, a friend of mine's got a share in Pirata. He's actually my doctor.
Okay.
And are you kidding?
No. He's got a share. He
won't be your doctor for much longer. It's going to start. It's what a magic menu. He's a 3-year-old, a group one, and his favourite.
Actually, when I occasionally go to see him, he trains greyhounds as well. He trains...
What?
Big Bad Bob, who won the...
Oh,
he's been a proven performer up here. So when I go, I think he adds half an hour on because the first half an hour is either talking about the dogs or Pirata. So
there you go. Well, Jared, I mentioned earlier about the barrier draw, and this field is so close in quality. The draw is going to be so influential, isn't it, to the market?
It is, and I think Bruni made a really good point then with Nature Strip because, rest assured, I don't think they'll be holding Nature Strip up, and that's certain to set a pretty decent tempo. And I guess some of those backmarkers or perceived backmarkers, Santa Ana Lane, Arcadia Queen and the likes, well, they're right in the thick of it now. Maybe the tactics won't be as crucial as what they are, but one thing that has become pretty obvious to us in the last couple of days is that Santa Ana Lane, which is now the favourite, and obviously the TAB representative, plenty of money for it at $4.60 now. Arcadia Queen as well at $6. But you're going to get some really big odds horses that are capable of winning, as you quite rightly pointed out, Ray.
No, it's an amazing race. And the good news is, Jared, we've got a week of fine weather coming up in Sydney, right through, no rain forecast, right through to Saturday, Everest Day, sunny and 26. So we'll get a perfect track for all contenders.
I'll tell you what I am interested to watch is the barrier draw on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. I'm curious to see how they do that.
Well, my understanding is the Trek to the Everest show will be beamed live with the barrier draw on Tuesday night on Channel 528, Sky Thoroughbred Central. Jared, you'll see it all there.
Yeah.
My understanding is that on the arches, just say, for example, if Red Zell's number gets drawn out, he's predominantly red, his racing colours will adorn the arches of the Sydney Harbour
Bridge.
So
it'll become red.
Yeah, which will look fantastic. And then the saddle cloth and the barrier number it draws. Santa Ana Lane's predominantly blue, that sort of thing. So it's going to look spectacular, Jerry.
And it's controversy-free this year, the barrier
draw. Touch wood.
At the moment it is.
Batten down the hatches last year.
Hey,
let me tell you, Ray.
Yeah?
You're killing it on that show.
It's absolutely killing it.
You put a couple of those other journalists to shame.
Oh, don't say that. Jerry.
Hang on.
There's enough politics in racing as it is.
Come on, Jared. Don't get us
We're one team there on that show. I do enjoy it. Hey, Jared, another big race is on today. And I said to Bruni earlier, I love watching Bathurst. I'm just getting engrossed in it this afternoon. Can Scott McLaughlin finally win Bathurst?
Maybe. He's $3. Wing Cup and Lowndes at $4.50. Van Gisbergen and Tander, Mostert and Moffat, they're both at $5.50. Actually, there was one bet come through yesterday, $5,000 on Van Gisbergen at $5. He's now $5.50. If this was a race in the season proper, given what we'd seen from McLaughlin the last couple of days, he would be $1.40.
Yeah.
But Bathurst is a different beast, as we know. It's a lot more about one lap. It's an endurance race, and we've seen plenty not run the distance there before for a variety of reasons, but what it has done is it's created a massive, massive betting event because there are those that aren't used to getting that sort of price and looking at that lap yesterday. And then you go to the other side, you know, the Holdens with Wing Cup and Lowndes. Every time Lowndes used to drive, he was always their worst result, and he's back today. So it's going to be a fascinating race. It really is.
Well, it depends what happens with these Mustangs. Look, Scott McLaughlin, honestly, how's he not won it?
Today's a day.
Then Jared, the pressure mounts.
Something happens, doesn't it, Bathurst? It always got a twist.
He starts
the tail,
thinking about it.
Yeah, well, you know, quite often we've seen the safety car come into play with these type of things, but those cars are just so quick, the Mustangs, and it's a huge advantage, but just one little mechanical error or one error, you hit the wall. They get close to that wall, don't they?
Don't they? What? Yeah. Some of the vision is extraordinary, isn't it?
It's a great day, really.
11:30 start, 10:30 in Queensland.
Can't wait for it. Yeah.
I'll be watching.
Yeah, of course you will. And what about the A-League, Jared? We've seen the first round of A-League action this weekend. What have you got news markets-wise there?
Yeah, we've got the two to come today. Bruni, Wellington at home. The Phoenix, $3, a draw of $3.60. Western United, the new side, into the comp at $2.30. And Perth are at home to Brisbane Roar this afternoon. Obviously, Robbie Fowler now at the helm at Brisbane Roar. But they've been a big go, Perth. $1.70 into $1.60. And we've got a draw there at $4.20, a result at $5. Quite an entertaining match last night in Melbourne where nobody won. It ended up being a draw. And the updated market to win the A-League, I think we've got that. I'll just have a little look now. And Sydney FC at $4.50, ahead of Perth at $5. Melbourne Victory 6, Melbourne City 6.50, then the Wanderers at $9. So not a terrible lot of change to that market with a handful of matches completed.
Mm. Hey, Jared, do we know what's happening at the Rugby World Cup? A typhoon could impact Japan, Scotland. What happens if the game gets called off? What's going on?
Well, I've been trying to find out. It looks like Namibia, Canada has been called off today.
Okay.
Now you might think, well, who cares? Well, I care because I've backed Namibia. They were a pretty decent go early.
You backed Namibia
to beat Canada.
Nothing's barred.
You're kidding. You're backing Namibia.
$2.10 into $1.90. Look, we've got three games down to be played today. There's been a pretty decent move for the USA, $2.90 into $2.45. Tonga, $1.40 out to $1.55. Wales, Uruguay, well, that line is the only interest there. It's 42.5. But the big one is Japan, Scotland, and it's created some headlines, this one, hasn't it? Whether it's played or not. Japan, 225, Scotland at 165, and a line there of 2.5 points. I don't know whether it's going ahead. They probably don't know, Ray, but a lot of talk about the rules. The rules are pretty clear, though. All these sorts of things were written into the rules. So, really, the Scots, I don't know whether they can grizzle too much to win it. New Zealand 220, South Africa at 4, England at 6, Wales at 9, Ireland 17, and the Wallabies $26. We know they've got a pretty tough path through to the final, even if they do beat England. So, you know, we're lengthy outsiders now.
Righty, what about the NBL, Jared? What's
Kings
happening
there? Kings off
the flyer. How impressive was that? Actually, we've had three blowouts after what we saw last week of four close games. But today, this should be a ripper. We've got the new franchise, Phoenix, South East Melbourne Phoenix. Very impressive last week. They're at home to the Brisbane Bullets, who were equally impressive on Friday night. $1.90, take your pick. And there's a Monday night game where Illawarra host Cairns. Illawarra 135, Cairns at 325, and a line there of 6.5 points. But really looking forward to this one today.
No, it's terrific. So, Jared, you come down for Everest next week? I know you don't like crowds. There's going to be about 40,000 plus at Randwick.
Oh, no. Too many people for me, Ray.
Well, I'll be there.
Actually, it's a big week because... we've got the Tab Million Dollar Chase on Friday night at Wendy Park. I've got some friends that have got a dog in that race. So,
how many friends have you got in dogs that are half decent?
I try to align myself with the best.
So that's Friday night. The field's been decided, right?
Yeah.
Get a Gizmo, Good Odds, Harada Flying, Bazza, Pindari, Princess, Black Opium, Shimmer Shine, Jimmy Casey and Kurt Lee.
It's a really good field. Black Opium was the one I was referring to.
Okay.
She was the fastest seat winner, but realistically any one of the eight can... There's some similarities there between it and the Everest on Saturday, because I don't know whether you could put the pen through any runner in both races.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
What happened to Feral Frankie?
He fell over on the first turn.
Oh.
He was in going forward and then clipped the heels of one and did a couple of somersaults, and thankfully he's okay. So.
Hard way to lose a million, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It can be all over pretty quickly, as we know, Bruni. Yeah. That's one of the variances of greyhound racing, unfortunately.
One of the variances of life.
Of punting. Hey, Jared, appreciate as always. Get a couple of quiet beers and watch the Bathurst this afternoon.
I will be. And Bruni, 5 votes. Outstanding.
Done a good job, hasn't he?
He hasn't bagged me.
No. Well, not on air. Off air, it got a bit brutal, Jared. Good talking to you, brother.
See you, boys.
See you, Jared. Hey, thanks, lad. Hey, this is from a racing fan. Bruni, good morning, guys. You won't like this comment, but the Everest is about greed, not about being the best. Just look at the times for the Everest versus the consolation race, and the good horse is not running. And a suggestion made about moving the day to the Melbourne Cup is appalling and shows a major lack of respect. That's from a racing fan. A couple of things. Look, the point's well made, and understand where you're coming from. Every race is different. So the consolation race, the Sydney Stakes, often does gets a bigger field, so they often go different tempos. So it's hard to get a line on them, but the Everest has got the best sprinters in Australia all running.
It has. And look, the point about it's about greed, okay? So when it was first announced there was going to be the Everest and you buy a slot and all these things, I was a bit worried.
Mm.
Hang on, the rich is getting richer here.
Yep.
Then a syndicated horse through a good syndications company.
Bunch of battlers.
Bunch of plumbers, coppers, all sorts of people. They own that horse and they won it twice, right? So it was like Robin Hood.
Mm.
You know, the rich dumped up the money and a few of the battlers. They won't always work out.